Hey there, Successful Mama. It's your friend, Patricia Sung. How's your prioritizing? Are you making space for what you need? What matters to you? Are you resting? I recently asked myself these questions and the answers were terrible, no, I don't know, and no. So it was time for some reflection. How do I serve you well and take care of me and my family at the same time? I know that I have to cut back on something in order to do more of another, which is not the solution I want to hear, but it's the realistic one. And that means taking a break from something I really love, the podcast, and hanging out with you each week. This is a very adulty decision on my part because it's not what I want to do. What I want to do is make more episodes. I also want to spend time with my family during summer break, and I want to create space to serve my community better. This is a skill I've been working on with my ADHD coach, is how can responsible Patricia and fun Patricia both get what they want? So when I look at this summer and ask myself, how can I serve you better? Well, there's two places you can hang out with me. Either join our free Facebook group, where there is a huge community of mamas who are amazing. We'll be there to answer your questions and cheer you on. And I love spending quality time with you guys in that group. Or you can join our student community because all of my students are invited to our Wednesday meetings. I've also got a lot of behind the scenes stuff going on to prepare for the fall. And I know I'll be at the zoo and swim lessons and camp and all that. So that means this summer, to make space for all that good stuff, I'll be sharing some oldies but goodies on the podcast straight out of the vault this summer. Now, most of these are in the first 25 episodes I ever did. Full disclosure, total perfectionist moment. I know that these first episodes are not as good as the ones I do now because I've had way more practice. But I also know that there are some really great skills and information in this first group of podcasts, so I'm looking my perfectionism square in the face and saying to it, no, I will not let you stop me from sharing important things with my mamas. One thing that I've learned the hard way in this podcast is that we learn by doing. We figure out what works by doing, not thinking about doing. And this is one way that I can be myself with you and say, I know that these are not the best episodes, but I know that they're really good information for you, so don't judge me, okay? I chose episodes that will help you get ready for summer, support you with some integral support skills for ADHD, and get ready for the new school year. So I'll see you in the fall with some new stuff, and hopefully I'll see you either in my student community or in my Facebook group. I'll link all that in the show notes so you know where to find me. Until then, talk to you soon, Successful Mama. Are you overwhelmed by motherhood and barely keeping your head above water? Are you confused and frustrated by how all the other moms make it look so easy? You can't figure out how to manage the chaos in your mind, your home, or your family. I get you, Mama. Parenting with ADHD is hard. Here is your permission slip to let go of the Pinterest-worthy visions of organization and structure fit for everyone else. Let's do life like our brains do life. Creatively, lovingly, and with all our might. When we embrace who we are and how our brains work, we can figure out how to live our lives successfully, and in turn, lead our families well. At the end of the day, we just want to be good moms, but spoiler alert, you are already a great mom. ADHD does not mean you're doomed to be a hot mess, Mama. You can rewrite your story from shame spiral to success story. And I'll be right here beside you to cheer you on. Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD. First things first, episode 10. I'm so proud of myself. I did something 10 times consistently. This is amazing. Go ahead and let's just have a little party for a moment. Woo woo. Okay, you all know that I normally try to keep my episodes under 15 minutes because hashtag distractions, but this one's a smidge longer. But I think it's really good stuff, so I hope you'll stick with me. Or just listen to it in two parts when you remember to go back and listen to the second part, maybe in like less than a week, right? Also, I'm going to ask you to please forgive the inconsistent audio because old Patricia would have deleted everything and started over from scratch, but Patricia, who is trying not to be a perfectionist, is going to roll with it. And just forgive the audio technical difficulties I was having.
Today we are talking about how to be less late. And I find it highly amusing that I'm even doing this episode because I used to be the worst at being on time. And I have worked really, really hard to be better about this. I used to be consistently 20 to 30 minutes late all the time. My best friends in high school are their twin sisters. They would give me, they called it APT, Adjusted Patricia Time. They would tell me if they wanted to leave at 7, they would tell me to be ready at 6:30 because they knew I wouldn't be ready at 6:30. So they would say it's a 6:30 APT, Adjusted Patricia Time. And then they would come at 7 and maybe I'd be ready. Chances were I'd still be like throwing on the last, few bits of like makeup or trying to do my hair. But I have gotten so much better about this. I would say I'm either on time or I'm running like 5. Every once in a while I'm running 10 minutes late, but generally speaking, I can keep it to like on time to 5 minutes behind schedule, which is a huge difference. Like I still am working towards being on time all the time, but comparatively, I'm so much better at this. So it's funny to me that I'm going to share this with you because I don't feel like an expert on this, but at the same time, I have to tell myself like I have made an improvement of like being 25 minutes ahead of where I used to be. So, that means something. Like I really have worked hard on that goal.
One of the things to keep in mind is why this is so hard for us with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is because being on time involves like all of the executive functioning skills, all of which we are terrible at. When you look at your executive functions, like they're responsible for skills like paying attention. So, like noticing that, hey, it's time to leave, organizing and planning, realizing, oh, there are 15 steps to get out the door. Not like I can just snap my fingers and magically be walking out the door. Initiating tasks and staying focused on them. So not realizing while you're supposed to be getting out the door, this is not the time to scoop the cat's litter box because you have to leave. Regulating emotions is another skill that executive function regulates, and that's tied into like, you start realizing you're running behind and you get anxious and you're starting to freak out. Things never go smoothly when you're freaking out. So that's another one. And self-monitoring, which is basically keeping track of what you're doing. So, like, staying on task with what is supposed to come next. Y'all, this is all the things of like exiting the house in a timely fashion. Like, that's all executive functioning skills that we are not good at. So, we got to have a plan.
In order to be less late, which obviously, like, your goal is to be on time, but I don't want to set your expectation too high. I want you to be realistic and say, like, okay, how can I be better about this in baby steps so that eventually you can be on time for things? So, first is you have to determine your motivation to be on time. I think it's really important to get down to your why in order to make a change in this area if this is a struggle for you, because the why will motivate you when things are hard. And that goes for like anything that you're trying to work on, but specifically here, why do you want to be on time? For me, my why started back when I was teaching middle school. I was the student council advisor, so I was constantly taking my kids on like, service projects and what have you. And I can vividly remember, this is probably 10 years ago, I took the kids on a service project after school. We all get off the bus, the kids are all hopping into their cars with their parents, and I had one student there left with me after everyone else was gone, and I don't remember his name. He wasn't one of my students. He just came along with one of his friends on the service project. So like it wasn't a kid that I interacted with every day. I didn't have like a rapport with him, but I still vividly remember his face waiting for his mom to show up and pick him up. The combination of like disappointment and embarrassment and like a little panic of like, hey, is my mom even gonna come? That look on his face has stuck with me for 10 years. And I'm gonna try not to cry when I talk about it because it made that big of an impact on me. This poor little guy was calling his mom and she was saying she was on the way when he finally got a hold of her. At first, he couldn't get a hold of her. And that's like when the panic of like, oh my goodness, did my mom forget about me?
And I'm sure there are plenty of people who are like, I would never forget about my child. Well, mistakes happen. Sometimes you schedule incorrectly or you forget to write something down. Forgiveness to all of you that have ever had that happen. You are not a bad mom. Mistakes happen. Okay, back on track from my rabbit hole. I just knew I didn't want to do that to my future kids because this was pre-kid. I told myself then, like, you obviously don't have kids now, but you only have so much time before you need to figure this out. You have got to make some different choices and find a strategy so that's not you. Because the look on that kid's face was just, it is imprinted in my brain, that combination of disappointment and panic and hurt and embarrassment, all those things. I just didn't want to do that to my kids on a consistent basis. I mean, mistakes happen, but I didn't want this to be my reality every day. That same mix of emotions happens with adults too, when you let down a friend when you're supposed to be there for lunch and you're running behind schedule, or family members when they're counting on you to help them with something. That hurt feeling cocktail doesn't go away for people when they're grown-ups. People take that personally, even if that's not at all how we meant it. I mean, let's be honest, we all take things personally that really don't have anything to do with us, and it's totally an issue with the other person. But it's still really hard to separate that and not feel like that person's doing X to me. So for me, my motivation was not wanting to hurt my future kids, not wanting to hurt my friends and my family members. Maybe for you, it's that you're trying to get ahead at work and your chronic lateness is this huge black smudge on your record and you're not getting the promotion opportunities that you're wanting because people are looking at that chronic lateness as, you know, you're being lazy or disrespectful or not taking your job seriously. So as a side note, obviously there's some things you can do to combat that attitude from like a supervisor or family and all, but I'm not going to touch on that right now because otherwise this episode will be 400 years long. But one of the things that I was really lucky would be an interesting word to choose, that this following situation happened with me, because I was always late to work and I was a supervisor, I was a manager, and I was really late. And especially when I think back to like when I was working as a manager at the bank, you can't enter the bank unless you have two people there for obvious like holdup reasons. When I was scheduled to open, nobody could go inside until the both of us were there. And so my coworkers would see that I was chronically late. I was so late to things, not just that job, like all my jobs, that I honestly am really shocked that I never got like a write-up. I'm shocked that I never got fired. I mean, I was late, y'all. Late. L-A-T-E. Late. And I was really lucky that while I was working at the bank, when I was in my training program, I had a manager. Her name was Raina. If she ever hears this, thank you, Raina, for being like a super awesome boss woman. She was the only boss I ever had that sat me down and said, Patricia, you cannot be late anymore. And at the time, I was so embarrassed. So embarrassed. Back then, I didn't have the confidence to tell people what I was dealing with in my brain. I sat there and I took it and I said, okay, I've got to make some changes. And now, was I perfect? No. But I really wish I could go back and say thank you to her, that she was willing to call me out on something that I really did need to make improvements on. Thank you, Raina. I'm sending this into the universe. Hopefully someone will tell you one day. Now, once you realize what your motivation is on needing to improve your timeliness, you've got to like sit in it. And this is the part I think that's hardest for when you're trying to make just life changes in general, is that usually you've got to like sit in the yuckiness and find that motivation before you can move forward.
Hey mama, have you been over to my website and grabbed any of the free ADHD resources I've got? You can make your mornings more peaceful, overcome time blindness hurdles, learn ways to treat your ADHD beyond the obvious medication option, or grab a copy of all of my favorite ADHD resources on one page. You can snag these all on my website at patriciasung.com/resources, and I'll email you the PDF or the video. Now, don't go putting in your spammy junk email, okay? I'm not gonna send you junk. I email you once, maybe twice a week. For sure, I'll send you a note about this week's podcast topic, and If I'm having a particularly organized week, I might email you again about what's working for my ADHD this week, or venting about whatever executive function disaster happened. Your inbox is where I spill more of the beans. And if you change your mind, you can always unsubscribe, right? Plus, I really love hearing back from you. So write me an email back. Tell me what's going on in your life or what you want to learn about next. So go grab those free goodies and I'll see you in your inbox.
Now that you've identified why do I need to get this done, we got to figure out why are we late all the time. One, I think ADHD people, as a blanket statement, I'm being very stereotypical here, hate waiting. I cannot stand waiting. Waiting is like the combination of nails on a chalkboard while I poke my eyeballs out with sporks. Like, I hate waiting. I have to remember, one, the other person also probably hates waiting for me when I'm late. And two, if I'm early, if I can get there early enough, I just make sure that I always have something with me that's like my, I call it like an early activity, something that I can occupy myself, preferably something that I look forward to, that I can do while I'm waiting. And knowing that, like, hey, if I can get there a smidge early, I can. Maybe for you, it's like scrolling through some social media, or maybe you like to knit and you can carry your knitting with you. Find something that's like a staple that you know I'm not going to be sitting here clawing my eyeballs out, waiting for something to go on. I will get there in time and I will get to work on whatever fun activity you have planned. You can even keep stuff in your car. Like if you're reading a book, just leave it in one of the pockets in your car so that whenever you're like sitting in the carpool line waiting to pick up your kids, just pull that book out and you know, great, I get to enjoy this book or this magazine. Just, it has to be planned ahead of what can you do to not hate that extra time. The next thing is we are often late because we don't plan ahead. Anything that you can do ahead of time that makes walking out the door easier and faster, get it done. And I'll do a specific episode on this at some point, but go back and listen to episode 8 if you want to hear about my arriving home routine, because that is a lot of prep that is for the following day or the following outing. So think about all the things you're going to need when you leave the house. Have your purse ready, put your keys in it, your wallet, have the kids pack up their backpacks, put them right by the door. Have a staging area where all the things that need to go are right there by the door. So when you walk out the door, they all go with you. Or just load them in the car ahead of time. Pack lunches the night before. Anything you can do ahead of time so that you don't have to do it in the moment of exiting is gonna cut back on the ways that things can go wrong and take longer when you're actually leaving the house.
The next reason that we tend to be late is that, generally speaking, people with attention deficit disorder do not have a good sense of time. So like the actual passage of time isn't correct in our brains. So for example, I've been sitting here working on the podcast for a while now. And if you just asked me like, hey, how long were you working on that? I probably would have guessed like, I don't know, 45 minutes, maybe an hour. When in reality, I had actually been working on it for over 2 hours. And so when we get into something that we enjoy, we hyper-focus and then totally lose track of time. And then also we just, our brain just doesn't clock the passage of time well, generally speaking. So I know that about myself. So there's a few things I do to combat that. I use a lot of alarm. Literally in my phone, if you look at the alarm app, I have alarm for like, not just like waking up in the morning, but like I have an alarm for about 10 minutes before we need to leave for school. I have an alarm to leave like every reoccurring appointment that I have, like picking up my kiddo. Right now I'm doing physical therapy for my core back pelvis issues. So I have an alarm that rings about 10 minutes before I need to leave for those recurring appointments. Anything that you can set an alarm for, do that. Have it recurring if it is. And then I also try to set an alarm just for like, if I know I need to finish doing whatever I'm doing in like 20 minutes, I set an alarm for that because my body just does not clock that passage of time. Another way you can do that is like ask a friend if you are at work and you want to stop a certain time to go grab lunch, like have that friend come get you at that time so that you know, hey, it's time to stop working on this project and move along to the next thing. The other reason I think that we're often late is that just poor planning. Think about what time you need to leave and work backwards. And the first time you do this, this is going to be our action step for the week, is think about like leaving the house for just like a general activity, not for anything specific. But if you think about like working backwards, how much time do you need? Like, I need about 5 minutes to like get my bag together and make sure I have everything we need. I know I still have little ones, so, you know, we still have the diaper bag we got to carry around. I know that I need to get on my coat if it's chilly outside and shoes. That's about 2 minutes. I got to get my older one in the potty. Then, you know, both kids, coats, shoes. That's like a 10-minute process. Then actually getting in the car with all the stuff and the kids in, buckled under the car seat, that's like another 5 minutes. So if I add that up, that's 5 + 2 + 10 + 5, that's 22 minutes. Keep in mind that like anytime I have my kids with me, things are going to take longer. I probably poorly estimated those times. So if you haven't like been honest in how long it's going to take you, things add more time into that. But generally speaking, I try to up 50% of my time estimation because one, kids always have something come up, like, and it never fails. Like, we're trying to get out the door, and my son's like, I have to poop. And you're like, okay, great, there's another 10 minutes. And then on top of that, having attention deficit disorder means I'm probably going to get distracted and realize, like, I forgot to wash the dishes from breakfast, or, oh, wait, that laundry is still in the washing machine. I got to put it in the dryer before we leave. And that's always going to add something else in. So that's what that 50% buffer is for, because I know I'm going to get distracted and I know I didn't estimate everything correctly. If I look at the 22 minutes, add on 50%. So half of that is 11 minutes. So 22 plus 11, that's 33 minutes. So I honestly need about 30 to 35 minutes to get out the door anytime I'm going anywhere. And I never calculate that time in. I always look at Google. And it's like, okay, Google says I'll be there in 22 minutes. And so I think that if I have to be somewhere at 10, then I can walk out the door at 9:38 and be on time, which is totally ridiculous. Like, I didn't think about parking the car or walking in the building, any of that stuff that happens after you arrive. It's ridiculous. If I think about the fact that, like, it's going to take me 20 minutes to get there and I needed 35 minutes to get out the door, and then, you know, like 5-10 minutes to like get everyone out of the car and into the building, that's literally like an hour ahead of time that I need to start getting ready to be somewhere. So like if I need to be somewhere at 10, it means at 9, I'm supposed to be putting on shoes, packing up the bags. It just sounds crazy to my brain that I need an hour to get somewhere that's only 20 minutes away. But it's the truth. That's the crazy part. So even though it doesn't make any sense to me, I really do need all that time. Now, if you're super terrible at estimating these things like I am, ask a friend or your spouse for help on estimating how long it's going to take you to do all this stuff, because I was completely inaccurate in my estimation. So I asked my husband to help me with this, and then I timed myself and found that like, not only was I gravely wrong, he was pretty close on his estimation. It's okay to ask for help if you need it, which we do. So ask for help. Your homework for this week is to work backwards or forwards, whichever way your brain makes more sense, and figure out how much time you need to get the basic things done in order to walk out the door for like, you can do it as just like a general rule. If you want to do it for like getting ready in the morning and like out the door for school, how much time you really actually need to do those things in a calm manner instead of in chicken with your head cut off mode. Do that work. Write down all the steps that you need to do about how much time you think it's going to take you. Then go to somebody who has a sense of time. That's not you and not me. And ask them, here's all the things I'm thinking of. What did I forget? And you'd be surprised. They'll be like, hey, you forgot
that you need to put shoes on, or that you're going to have to like actually load kids in the car and that takes 400 years to get everybody buckled in. Use that sounding board and check and make sure that you're remotely accurate. And then I'm adding on here, sorry, extra homework. I set a timer on when I need to start that process to get out the door. So for me, like my son's preschool is literally 2 minutes down the street. So I have an alarm set on my phone at 8:35 that we need to be gathering things up to get in the car to be there for nine. That's 25 minutes ahead of time. School's literally 2 minutes down the road. Like you could walk there if you were feeling active that day. 25 minutes ahead of time. That's crazy. But you know what? It's the truth. All right, you've got homework, successful mama.
For more resources, classes, and community, head over to my website, motherhoodinadhd.com.